Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Debates over K-12 education were once again at the center of state public policy wars in 2022, and from all early indications, that will remain the case in 2023. Whether it's school funding and the continuing efforts to enforce the Supreme Court's recent ruling in the Leandro case that ordered the General Assembly to do more, a new proposal to transform how teachers are paid by de-emphasizing experience and prioritizing test scores and student surveys, or a proposal to rearrange who's in charge of the state schools, lawmakers will have plenty of hot-button issues to deal with in the new legislative session that commences this week. And last week, in order to gain some insights into where things stand, I sat down with my colleague, NC Policy Watch education reporter, Greg Childress.
Well, Greg Childress, Happy New Year. Welcome back to News and Views.
Happy New Year to you, Rob. I'm glad to be back with you.
You know, as we head into the new year, it appears likely that a lot of the debates state leaders have been having about our public schools will probably continue in 2023. You've written about this in a pair of stories for NC Policy Watch. I guess we should start with funding for K-12 education, pretty much always at the top of the list. I assume this is going to remain the case in the coming year, especially with the state Supreme Court's ruling in the longstanding Leandro case sort of still hanging out there and hanging over everything. Is that your take?
I absolutely think that's going to be the case. Although the court issued its ruling in favor of funding for Leandro, I don't think much happened toward the end of last year to move the ball forward. So this year, I think that's what the debate will be mostly about. You know, how do we actually make this happen? How do we actually take that court ruling and turn it into dollars for K-12 schools in North Carolina?
The Supreme Court has purported to order the state to put that money forth and has sort of directed the trial court to figure out how to make it happen, but we haven't really gotten to that point. I guess the sort of interesting question that overhangs all of this is that we know that per pupil spending has dropped significantly over the last decade in North Carolina. Do the Republicans say that funding is adequate, or do you think it's their argument that, well, we'd like to do more, we just can't? I mean, I've always been sort of struck by which one of those arguments is their position on this, because the Democrats and the Supreme Court say, look, funding is adequate, it's not enough, we need to do more.
With Leandro, the argument has mostly been about whether the court has the authority to force legislators to actually fund what is called Leandro Comprehensive Plan. It is essentially a sweeping school improvement plan that involves having quality teachers in every classroom, quality principals in every school, et cetera. And so the Republican argument has been, or the conservative argument has been, that, you know, of course, don't have the authority to force lawmakers to actually dip into the savings account and come up with that money. I think over 8 years, it's $5.6 billion plan. The court orders lawmakers to fund years 2 and 3 of the plan. I think that comes up to roughly a billion and a half, I think, if I remember.
I think that's right.
And so conservative lawmakers have also argued they have incrementally been funding parts of what's in that plan. Toward the end of last year, I think the figure was $800 million of what is required in the plan. So I'm sure lawmakers and advocates for the Leandro Comprehensive Plan will spend some time discussing, debating, and fussing about that as we enter 2023.
Effectively, I think by admitting that they've spent more and trying to take credit for it, it seems that the Republican lawmakers are admitting that we need to do more for public schools, but their argument is that's up to us to make that final decision. The courts can't make us. And even though we have billions of dollars in a reserve account, that's our call as to what's to be done with that. And so it's an interesting sort of, I don't know, almost contradictory position they're taking there. It remains to be seen whether the court will actually be able to require them to do it. Another hot button issue, of course, that you've reported on a lot is teacher pay. And in particular, this proposal that's wending its way through the education infrastructure to introduce a form of merit pay. Can you sort of remind us what's going on there and what might be happening in the new year?
So the State Board of Education and the North Carolina Department of Instruction, through one of its committees, and it's PEPSI, but it's a committee that's developed this new teacher licensure and pay plan. And its goal is to increase pay and streamline the licensure program so that becoming a teacher would be more appealing for younger people as the state faces a teacher shortage, as most states find themselves in that predicament now. But one of the more controversial pieces of it is a proposal to base teacher pay on, to some extent, on a student assessment of a teacher. Teachers are opposed to that. They say that the proposal is a lot like a system of merit pay that they don't want. They think it's unfair to base their pay and compensation, basic compensation, on state test scores. So I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about in the coming year as that proposal makes its way through the General Assembly. The State Board of Education approved it in December and forwarded it to the General Assembly for its consideration. So I'm sure it'll be popping up as we move through the long session.
Yeah, that PEPSI group to which you were referring is the Professional Educator Preparation and Standards Commission, right? The PEPSC, that's its sort of acronym. It's boiling down to they're saying, look, we got to pay attention more to test scores and how students are doing and to even student reviews of their teachers than strictly abiding by experience, teacher experience. And the teachers, a lot of them are pushing back and say, hey, work with us on this. It does appear that they really haven't, certainly haven't engaged with the North Carolina Association of Educators or other teacher groups when it comes to fashioning a new method of constructing teacher pay in our state.
On its face, it appears that this proposal would end up putting teachers in a better situation when it comes to pay. They would have opportunities to earn. Veteran teachers who take on leadership roles could find themselves making up to $80,000 a year or so. But you just hit on one point that's important. Teachers don't feel that they have been consulted in any serious way about this, and they don't have any ownership of this. So they've been pushing back against it. And I think that has been one of the state board's missteps and NCDPI's as well. They did not consult teachers in any serious way early on in this process.
We're talking with NC Policy Watch education reporter Greg Childress about some of the hot button issues in the world of public schools that were debated at the end of 2022 and likely to dominate the political debate in 2023. Obviously, our public schools have not been insulated from the culture wars, right? I mean, I know that with Republicans in a stronger position at the General Assembly, we could see some new efforts to follow the lead of other states that have enacted laws on how we teach about race in schools, about the rights of LGBTQ kids in schools. Is it a safe assumption those kinds of issues are going to probably pop back up in the General Assembly this year as well?
Unfortunately, they likely will. I think we wrote about this week about the governor not having veto power that he's had in the past due to the outcome of the midterm elections. So I'm sure conservatives will be emboldened as we enter into the long session, and those issues that we've seen in the past will likely resurface. Unfortunately, we will probably find our lawmakers and our educators spending lots of time on these issues when there are more serious issues to consider. We still have a significant portion of our students who aren't reading and achieving on grade level. And sometimes these issues tend to sidetrack us from the real purpose of why they go to school. Hopefully we'll find our way and won't get too sidetracked on those issues. They are hot button issues. They are sexy issues. People love to debate them and argue about them. And so I'm sure we'll be hearing lots from lawmakers about those.
We're coming to the end of our time with Greg Childress, who's the education reporter for NC Policy Watch. Greg, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but one issue I know you've written about in the past and might come up again is this whole issue of how we organize our structure of education in the state, the power structure, that is. Who runs public schools in our state? Should it be the superintendent? Should it be the State Board of Education? How is the superintendent selected? How is the board selected? There's a House Select Committee that's been meeting. I know you've reported on them, that's looking at the future of K through 12 education. Is it likely that some of those issues could be debated?
Yeah, that issue has been coming up with increasing frequency about who should control the K-12 system of education in North Carolina. And you mentioned the House Select Committee that I've been writing about off and on for the year. And that has been one of the recurring issues in the work that they're doing. So their position, or the position of some of the committee members, is that the state superintendent should have a lot more power and a lot more say-so in how the K-12 system is run. And that would give the superintendent the power to push what some people believe are a lot of conservative positions around education. turning more power over to the superintendent is one of the recommendations in the House Select Committee's report that it will send to the General Assembly. So I'm sure we will hear more about that. It wouldn't be the first time that that's been tried. As I wrote about it and researched it, I found out that this pops up from time to time. So only time will tell whether it gains traction.
Yeah, we currently have a system you might call kind of a hybrid system in which a lot of the power is shared between the superintendent and the State Board of Education. Right. And the different people appoint different people, and it's a little bit power is rather diffused. Of course, it seems that it's the party that whose person is heading the Department of Public Instruction, the superintendent, probably that's more likely to favor giving them that authority. It'll be interesting to see if that holds throughout 2023. It would gore some oxes to take away power from the State Board of Education. So that might be a big change. We'll have to see whether General Assembly really takes that seriously. Well, Greg, we thank you for all you do to keep us informed on public schools in North Carolina. Lots more issues to be covering in the new year, and we'll be looking forward to reading your stories at NC Policy Watch. Stay safe. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Coming up next, we'll discuss some of the impacts of Republican efforts to remake the UNC system and whether it will continue in 2023. Stay with us.